and delight listeners and consumers with all the news that is news across the Living Nation. Never one to be shy or modest among Dobbs' many illustrious contributions to life, capital life on capital planet Earth, appear to be a working model for free energy in a treatment for cancer. No, don't doubt, Bob. Recently nominated as 2012's Man of the Year, in addition to holding court/fort on Achieve Radio every Saturday at 5, it seems all there is left for Bob to do is be president. So this was when you were doing the Call Bob Neverett show that I wrote this for that page.
Yeah.
But, you know, we really should update it, you and I. We can do it in a call and kind of, you know, because since 2012, I mean, you really have done so much. And the thing about the amount of hours that you spent with ION and your trip to the castles and your work with Roxy and now your video archive and your hours that you logged in on Zappa, I mean, you've become, you know, so prolific on so many levels that really this is kind of old school.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Mia mentioned the Bob Fest and Bob Fest.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Did you say 16,400 hours?
Yes, that's how I don't have proof. I asked Ion because he used to say many years ago I'd done 8,000 hours. So many years later I said, okay, let's have an update. How many hours? He said 16,391. So I rounded off to 16,400. Think of that.
That's almost two years.
Yeah, and I asked the person before me who had the most interaction with something like non-physical, though Ion's not that complimentary of Edgar Cayce, but it was Edgar Cayce's secretary who had, I think it was a woman, had 4,000 hours interacting, attended all the private sessions that Cayce did. So I've four times that. 16,000 hours.
That's a fart in the wind of Bob.
It's a fart in the wind, but it's also like not only it is a fart in the wind, but like talking with Edgar Cayce for 4,000 hours is like the equivalent to touching your tongue to a battery versus, you know, sticking your penis in a light socket. I mean, Ion is just so much more more powerful than anything, you know, that has ever come down the pike. And for Bob to have done that for all those hours, I mean, really, truly, you know, I mean, I know you've talked about taking the RNA drops has really changed your enzymes and different things in your body. But you should get Ion to tell you the specifics. Or maybe I'll ask this weekend, Bob. What has happened?
I'm not allowed to release it. I'm not allowed to release what's happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jeez. It's so off the charts. He says, no, you don't want people to know this, Bob.
Okay. All right. Well, at the very least, we can update your bio.
And I don't know if that Edgar Cayce person asked questions or just was present for sessions with people. Maybe they did ask some questions, but mine includes listening to everything that Ian was doing. He's not talking to me the whole time. But it's a number you say to people they can't conceive of. It's like saying billions and billions of stars. Who can conceive of talking to some person or some voice for 16,000 hours. It's an amazing statistic.
Right.
Okay, so so we'll work on an update of the bio.
Let me just ask you something really quick.
In bio.
Who's that Nate? You're very low, Nate, but yeah, Nate. What'd you say, Nate?
I said make sure to use the penis in the light socket for 16,400 hours.
Yep.
In the bio.
Yep.
Okay,
we will
do that.
Yeah, Ginny, you want to
call me when you're ready, Bob.
Yes. You wanted to say something else. You wanted to ask a question.
Yes, I did want to ask you real quick. So, you know, now I'm looking at this biography, The Son of the Butler and this and that and so on, and then the thing about C.K. Allen and everything, and now it's like this whole phase of I and M. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but do you think that like life began when Ion came on the scene?
Life made sense. Life was completed.
Ah, very good.
Perspective wise. Yeah. Now I knew what I was doing. It wasn't sure where it was going. So it was a great validation.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, Bob, and this just came up with this about 3 or 4 days ago when I very first got involved with the ministry. I had totally forgotten all this. When I very first got involved with the ministry, I was in this small Bible study with this handful of people, and I spent like 4 months in this really weird kind of like buzzed up state studying the generations of all the tribes of Israel and all their behaviors and all the different, looking up all the Jewish words, I mean the Greek, Hebrew words, what they meant and what all the characteristics of the tribes were. And I realized that at that time I was studying the generations as anticipating the thing about the drops. And I'm going to ask this Ion this weekend if there are characteristics of the 12,000 strands that follow the characteristics of the tribes. But I think what you said was perfect. Life makes sense. Everything that you had done up to that point started to really complete itself and come into focus, and then you understood what your motivation was.
Yeah, let's assume that Leonardo da Vinci was impressed with Mona Lisa. When I think of my life now, it's looking at an amazing work of art. Like I think about, look what I was saying in CKLN. Look what I was saying 40 years ago. I'm constantly amazed at my memories of what I did that got
right.
made sense of by Ion. I'm looking back at a great work of art, you know, a great thing that was created. So I'm very impressed with myself now.
Right. Yeah, very good. No, those are perfect words. Excellent. Okay. That's
it. I could ascend on my own self-worth or self-perspective of myself. I don't have issues of worth. But, you know, Ion doesn't think much of me. He thinks I'm really fucked up. But I'm so full of myself, I don't take Ion's assessments of me seriously.
And do you think that's the public kind of rap that you guys have developed to keep,
yep.
you know, everybody else off balance?
You know what
not off balance, but
no,
neutralized.
No, you know what? He's putting me down. He has said this in other contexts about other people. He's putting me down so you guys don't feel less than. That's the reason. He must make, since I'm such a god now, he could easily lead into me being you guys just trying to adapt. But he has to continuously make a fool of me so you guys can remember yourselves. That's one reason I think he does it.
Aww.
Yeah.
Or he actually means it. I am a loser, a ridiculous person who doesn't know where they are, never would. And he's sort of nice, so he says, it's okay, Bob, you're doing that. We don't recommend anybody else do it, but it's okay, you're doing it. So it's a bit of a contradiction in there, paradox. But...
No, I mean, it's very difficult to be an incredibly successful loser. I mean, to
yeah.
you know, in all aspects. I mean, that, to me, is a championship.
Yeah.
Nobody's done it as well as Bob.
Yeah, I did. I did life with half my brain tied behind my back. You know? I whooped everybody. With...
Yeah. It's like you said, you're just a dumb person that looks smart.
Yeah, now that's what Ion said. Did you hear that the other night? I have an incredible talent this is what you're quoting, to look smart. I got no imagination. I'm pretty dumb, pretty stupid, but I have a really good way of looking smart. Now, how do you do that? How do you look smart if you don't know what smart is? Another ridiculous statement by Ion.
Right.
He's really good at making nonsensical statements, but in the speed of the moment, you think it makes sense. Have you ever gone down? What?
Oh, I was saying maybe in practice, because you said growing up you always had to downplay your happiness because it made people feel uncomfortable around you, and you're so happy.
That's right. That's true. Yeah. I was going to say something else there. The I can't remember it. So. We don't want to end up just talking about me, which is what we always do. But so I'm giving you guys opportunity to brag about yourself.
Darn, I'm going to ask you to take a picture.
I'm great.
Who's saying that?
I'm great.
That was It's very low energy. I agree. It's like an afterthought.
Right.
It's like, oh, that's how that would be good to be kind of tone.
Right.
I agree. Where's who was that?
Mom.
Was that Kate?
That's like Eeyore on a good day.
I think I'm dead. No,
yeah,
no.
Eeyore on a good day. I always liked that Jackie
Bob,
somebody, Jonathan Edwards or somebody, an old Ed Sullivan comedian in the 60s. He'd talk about how dull of a guy he was. And he said, you know, I used to go down to the bus station and pretend I was leaving. That was one of the funniest lines I've ever heard. Go down to the bus station just to look excited and pretend you're leaving.
No, it was more like to pretend I was going somewhere.
Look, I'm quoting him, Carol. What do you know?
I think it was going somewhere.
No, pretend I'm leaving.
No, leaving implies you're leaving something bad, but going somewhere is exciting. That's how exciting his life is, because he's actually going somewhere.
Do you know any other lines he made?
Yeah, but I forget them.
Yeah, you forget. I'm the authority here.
But seriously,
folks.
Okay, let's have a vote. Pretend I'm leaving or pretend I'm going somewhere. Which wins?
I'm going to mute everybody.
I'd vote for going somewhere.
Going somewhere.
That's ridiculous. You suck up, Michael. I'll remember that. I got a bit of Trump in me. Trump's imitating me.
Carolyn wins.
I don't know. I'm not trying to just suck Bob off, but I think that it's funnier that I'm pretend I'm leaving. It's
yes,
darker.
It's quicker. Yeah, it's quicker. Now, his next line was...
self-deprecating.
Right. And he you know, he had, his resume says... I was a deckhand on a submarine. Get that? A deckhand on a submarine.
Carolyn.
What?
Dad.
Carolyn?
Yes, Carolyn.
Another vote for Carolyn.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just remind him that he didn't know what a mitochondria was.
Oh, that's you, Deb. You can vote for Carolyn all you fucking want. That's the worst kind of support. And you do not vote for me, Deb. I do not want the stigma of your nonsense. Boston, what a loser place. I used to live in Boston. That's a good joke.
Well, why? What do you got? What do you do there?
No, I've said it 1,000 times. You're there. That's what I object to. If you move, then wherever you go will be the bad city of the next period. So, what have you been doing? Have you been listening to the archives, keeping up with us for the last 7 months that you haven't been here?
Not as much as I used to, because, like, I'm trying to work on the startup again.
Oh, yeah, your stupid startup. It's not going to work, Deb. That's ridiculous. No companies can be started up anymore. We've got the only ones worth starting up. We obsolesce everybody. And the ones that already are...
We have a guy from Washington, D.C., He's a lobbyist, and
yeah.
he's the one who's doing, you know, like a lot of the business with us. So
and he's getting nowhere, right?
No, we're going to become incorporated.
What? You're incorporated? Deb, you're crazy. You got a guy in Washington, a con man. There's no sane person in Washington. Hasn't been for 30 years. If
well,
he's from Washington, that's bad news.
He has his own consulting company, a Medicare consulting company. So he's on government panels in Washington.
Well, that's bad.
Okay.
We've obsessed all government standards.
Okay.
You're so naive, but Deb, you're the most naive person I ever met. You know, even though you grew up in America, your Greek background has really stultified your brain for understanding America.
What are you doing with yourself?
Yeah,
what are you doing with your life,
yeah,
Bob?
What am I doing? Yeah. I just fucked the whole world up by putting Trump in office. How about that for a start off?
Trump in office.
See, then you don't believe it, see? You can't understand it. So I'm not arguing with you. You just don't get it.
All right. You know it all.
Yes. I know it all. Say a few other things. Say some more. I should get you to introduce my show. This guy, I don't believe what he's doing. I got something better than Ginny. You could say, well, you know, I actually have a corporate guy who actually has a business who's working to get my stuff patented. But, you know, Bob's even better than that.
Look, Fitbit.
Look, oh, yeah, okay, let's get serious here.
Okay, Fitbit, the watch company, they want to contact us. That's how good this book is.
Don't you realize there are no viable businesses in America once we have arrived? Matters changing, Deb. Nothing that anybody used to know fits. Why do you think Trump won? Do you know that Trump was on the drops? That's why he won.
He looks like he was on the drops.
you would never take the drops, would you? You would never take the drops. So, yes, he looks like a mutant. Something horrible had happened to him. You see, this is a – can you read it? Carolyn looked up some Jonathan Winter quotes. I don't know if it's Jonathan Winter's, Carolyn, is it? Can you read a few? Why not? Look at that. I can't even get my own partner to cooperate a little bit, you know.
I like when she goes.
Well, that's because that's you. That's a mirror of you.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it didn't occur to you. Insight number one. The first insight in your life. Well, that's pretty good. Try to live with that. You won't get any sleep tonight. Quotes. So we'll look up Jonathan Winter's quotes. Brainy quote. Oh, look, just the first. I didn't even have to go far. Look at this one. If your ship doesn't come in, swim out to it. He says, I couldn't wait for success, so I went ahead without it.
He says,
nothing is impossible. Some things are just less likely than others. He says, I know you can be funny without being filthy. Is that funny, Carol? I know. Is he saying like a hope? I hope you can be funny without being filthy. Well, the most terrible fear that anybody should have is not war, is not a disease, not cancer or heart problems or food poisoning. It's a man or a woman without a sense of humor. Well, that's sober talk.
Uh-huh.
I find painting a much slower process than comedy, where you can go a mile a minute verbally and hope to God that some of the people out there understand you. Well, that's not so funny.
Here's one. God is in my head, but the devil is in my pants. If God had really intended man to fly, he'd make it easier to get to the airport.
Here's one. Discipline is tough for a guy. Discipline is tough for a guy who is a rebel.
Well, that's obvious.
No, these.
Oh, then I'm
says,
a rebel.
Yeah, that's what you are. Here's more what you are. He says, I don't do jokes. The characters are my jokes. You're a joke, Deb. You're a character.
That's why we're talking to each other, because we're both like attracts like.
That's right. Yep. As soon as Carolyn dies, I'm heading to Boston. I'm going to hang out with you.
Oh, no.
She meant that, people. She really meant that.
I don't really know how I'm going to afford this home anymore.
Oh, Jesus. You just go into yourself all the time. I got to mute you, Deb. We can't run fucking Hollywood with this kind of material.
Here's a Jonathan. Once you find out who you are, you're screwed.
That's a good one. So, I'm going to mute her. Okay, so I'm going to see if I can find something to play you guys since you won't say anything.
No, hey, Bob, I got something to say.
Okay.
Well, something to ask. So it's like every time I'm talking on Payday with you and Ion, it starts spinning out of control, and I don't really feel like wrangling it, and then a lull happens. And then I don't really know what to say because I've just sort of been waiting you guys out. How do I get past that and just relax? Do I need to tell you to shut up? what do I need to
do?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. You got to stop looking for too much significance in Ion's answers. Just say, okay, he says some words that should spark some ideas in you. So then you respond to him and then he responds to you and then it'll go somewhere. Stop trying to second guess what one should say, whether it's correct or not, whether you agree with it or why Ion said it. you just got to be able to talk without too much reliance on semantic meaning.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting caught up in, like, trying to play with you guys, you know? So I'm like,
yeah,
I'm watching
don't
it
play.
Happen. And,
be serious yeah. about freedom of thought, that you can think anything, you can say anything, you can bring up topics you're not interested in, just see what Ian says. You know, you're racking yourself for information. There's not enough information in yourself to last long. So you just look around your room there, look at a magazine cover, and just start talking what's on the cover.
Yeah, but I feel like whenever I do that, I get some, like, flare-up from you of, like, God, hey, you asked the stupidest fucking question.
Well, that's okay. You shouldn't be concerned about what I say.
No, yeah, I'm not concerned about it. It just, it, like, derails when I am doing what you're saying I should do.
Just flare back at Bob.
I do that. That's probably the most fun I've been having. But
yeah, flipping me the bird.
Yeah. But I think it would be more fun to relax more. But it seems like every time I get on the horn, everything goes to 100 miles an hour.
Right. Well, that's why you've got to have a magazine there with the open to topics. And as soon as Ion finishes something that you didn't understand, you go to another topic and say it. Just say it.
Sure.
You're not, look, I've been doing 16,000 hours, and I can't say I know anything in now that's definite. I can't
yeah,
make
I'm
a
not,
definite
I'm not
statement.
Looking for something definite or anything. But yeah, it's just more of like learning the language of it, and not. It's almost like a little bit of a sensory overload because of the approach or because of the perspective, and I'm looking to overlay a new perspective on it, but I haven't necessarily.
Yeah, okay, here's a new perspective.
Yet.
How about that you're so good in your non-physical, so sensitive, that you're very sensitive to the non-physical part of Ion, and it massages you into a numbed, relaxed mind or relaxed something that you don't want to speak anymore. Look at it, the fact that you go silent as a positive effect.
Just
yeah.
have fun on the show, that's all.
What?
Just have fun on the show.
Well, yeah,
yeah
you're the worst person. You kill all the fun. Well, we make fun of you. You have no fun, unless you like you're a masochist.
I make fun of you, too. I don't
No, it doesn't come across, Deb. I have never heard you evoke any laugh that people supported it. They only laugh at you, Deb. And what's funny, you don't realize that.
That's because it's a cult. That's why.
Oh, see, that, see, you just caused another laugh there.
See, everybody's laughing.
Yeah, at you. I mean, it's so ridiculous that we're a cult. You like hanging out with cults. Yeah, well, we're a pretty neat cult, and we let you even stay here. Look, Deb, you're a great distraction, Deb. Just waste another 2 minutes. I got to mute her. She's not allowed here.
like any good cult. You must silence the critic.
Yeah. She's too smart for us. She would never belong to any cult to have her as a member.
You're
going
to blow your cover.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I got some neat things that Ian has said here. Let's do this. Maybe not. Okay, go back one. We did that. Geez, we've caught up so much. And I haven't processed what we did today, but there is a neat statement here. I'm going to get that up. So anybody want to say anything while I get my stuff here?
I will say I really like the thing that you did on the soul.
Yes, you should like that.
Yeah,
that,
I was
going to
ask
awesome.
That.
That's an awesome recording. No, really, we actually got close to some definitions.
Yeah, I really liked it, and I've actually gone back and listened to it a couple of times. I have some questions for Ion about it, but I thought it was really outstanding, and you were very methodical, and it was very good.
Yeah, and we welcome further questions about it. What'd you say, Michael?
Nate, I said, is that in the post archive, or did you guys listen to that tonight? I want to hear that.
No, that is, if you go to Ian and Bob's Bob's private sessions, it probably is up because he does a good job of just excerpting what I play. And but it would be
it is
when
up.
I play, Jimmy.
It is up, Bob.
Oh, good. It's part
it
of the.
It is up.
Yeah, you just
What's
go to the late January 14th.
Okay, John.
No title. Oh, it's Bob's private sessions.
Okay.
Who's laughing? Is that Kate?
No, it wasn't
no,
me.
No, Ginny. Keep pursuing it. I've just
laid
down.
Oh, I'm going to.
Yeah,
I'm going to. It was really good. So I will build on it this weekend. Yeah, it was very good, Bob. Just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Well, you're
Ginny,
welcome, Andy.
I listened to it, and I listened to it twice. And I feel dumb because I don't know what the heck I really heard.
Well, it is confusing.
Madeline,
it is confusing. But we've got a little bit more of the what people think of reincarnating. He wouldn't accept the concepts of it, but you actually go to the guff and then come back and have another life, seems to be what he's saying. But, Ginny, you ought to press him on that. That's what he implied, right?
Well, I thought it was interesting because he said that, but he also has said previously to Sarah Courtney that souls get uploaded to the cloud these days. So,
right.
You know, there's that transitional position. And also, you know, this idea that he was describing that you're eternal, you only have one life, and the one life that you have, your eternal life, is always in the earth, which is kind of different because, you know, so there's that. Then you've got all these sub-lives, Bob, or like you said, or sub-souls that are like the pillows on the bed, and they're whisking in and out of the guff, but they're kind of getting recycled. And then you've got this other dynamic of ascended selves that seem to be here all the time with your one eternal self, and I couldn't, you know, so we need to do the drill down on that. But then I started thinking, if you've got your one eternal life that's always here in the earth or in this reality, let's just say it's not even, but it's not limited to being human, which we established, what does that eternal life doing that it needs the satisfaction of having all these more lives, more pillows? How many pillows do you need on your bed if you're fucking,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
I thought it was great that you got these different kind of definitions, and then we'll just have to start drilling down on it and see what else comes out of it.
Yeah, there's some, definitely some similarities here, Bill, Bob, from what Ion's talked about just recently in the Evergreens perspective. I mean, the words are completely different. But, you know, during our heyday, I mean, it was really a deal to say, okay, what lives am I resonating with now, Evergreens?
Yeah.
And that resonating with is like, you know, you're sharing some kind of frequency with an experience in another reality or another frequency, you know, just a billionth of a second away, and drawing on that experience so you can make more out of this. It's not even close to the same words, but I'm seeing a lot more similarities.
Well, here, but it's the big difference for me, Greg, is they're telling you where you go when you die, and you can see all your lives. To say you don't die, and you can have all your other lives come around you like JW does, that's a very different thing than the Evergreens. It's exactly the opposite.
Right, and if you don't die, and you do have these other lives, the 36 JWs or whatever, and then, you know, you can make your own football team with those JWs and run around and do shit. I mean, that's really pretty cool. So it's like, what is the intent of a single ascended eternal self, and what is the interaction between the, you know, the eternal you that's always in the earth and all these different beings, and who's orchestrating the collaboration of all these different ascended parts of you? So
the ascended self is not in the earth. It's nowhere, but it can be anywhere. Think of it as not
everywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, it's everywhere and nowhere. Right? You get that? So if you say it's in the earth, then you are then giving you a little bit of a prison, and you have to point out
well,
all these
not the earth, but I mean, it's not just in heaven. Like this idea that it's there, you know.
I don't think anybody and no religious literature ever said that you don't die and you have it all here and you can bring all worlds to you here and have many selves running around with you. Who the heck ever said that? And I'm not an expert
in all religions. Yeah.
No one's ever said that.
Yeah, there's nothing. No, there's nothing. Because
I said that last week, Bob.
Yeah, you did. Well, Nate, you're ascended, obviously.
Yeah.
That's why you have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that's no, it's a very good distinction, and it's not a religion, and I don't know if it's just this thing that Ion's doing to stretch your mind. We've talked about that before, that they'll actually take you in an extreme opposite, to force you into a different way of thinking or whatever, or if this is what the reality truly is, and Ion says you have no idea who you are, no idea, no idea. So maybe that is the way it is, that you really can, and this whole other thing is like a really bad dream of people just croaking right and left.
Yeah.
Jenny, did you say we have multiple ascended selves?
Ion did.
Well, Ion said we have multiple ascended selves, and JW was the example that they gave, but they said everybody does.
Right,
Bob
and they
asked,
said there's
point
more
blank.
Than one eternity. You'll hear Ion talk about eternity, but once or twice he said there's more than one eternity.
Well, and that's another thing, Bob. He says in this particular session with you, there's only one eternity. He said you only have one eternity. But then he says there's multiple eternities. So I'm wondering if what he's, it's like, okay, well, Greg's got an eternity, Ginny's got an eternity, and maybe there's overlap and maybe there's not type of a thing. It's not just a single eternity that everybody's functioning on the same timeline type of a thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, what I heard say was you can only experience one eternity at a time.
Correct.
Who said that?
Ion.
He did. Okay.
Yeah. But it's like I remember one time when we met with George Raynaud having this argument with him about the evergreens. One of their statements is, "I exist in eternity, which I command." And George was saying, "Well, I exist in an eternity," and he's like, "There's millions of eternities, and I just exist in one of them." And I'm like, "No, no, Ion says you exist in eternity." Period. Just the eternalness. That, like, there's not like this slicing off of just an eternity and, it makes it so small. Like George, I can't handle all eternity. I just need this little tiny piece over here. So anyway, that'd be a good question for Ion too, is this
is
eternity
one
that
eternity
you're talking
per
about.
Ascended self?
But see, Madeline, that's why you should be asking Ion questions. Madeline, please, you come on and ask Ion these questions.
Okay.
You got questions.
Yeah, you
got
to ask, and you don't get just don't get intimidated by their ripping around and answering. Oh, Ginny, that's in 1 Colossians 18:34. you just gotta go back around that. You don't whip out the Bible verse. Yeah, stay on point. But, they're always trying to whip out Bible verses on me, and I'm like, Ion, that doesn't make any sense.
Why, sure it does. If not, read this one. It's like, no, that doesn't make any sense.
You don't like that one?
Either.
Try this one.
There's a Bible full of verses we can use. So anyway,
And basically, Ginny, when the quotes he gives, you need him to translate how it applies. I don't think I found any quote really. There's a few, but both basically, they're hard to figure out how they apply to whatever the topic was that he's saying the quote will help.
Oh, the Bible verses?
Bible verses and songs is what I get.
Oh, I know. It's hilarious. I mean, they're like, well, what about G.E. Philco? They're always saying, oh, God,
Bob,
please stop.
Jackie song.
I think the greatest answer I ever gave, it has to make the short list, is that when Khaleesi came in way back in 2010, and I think it's on the May 19th, 2010 tailgate, the last tailgate, the 14th one. We do have it on our selected topics, where she says, you know that TV show Charmed? He goes, yes. Well, what do you think of this or that? So she says something. We then 20 minutes later or so, Califia says, you just heard a complete summary of all 8 seasons. That is
I remember hearing that one. Yeah.
How does he do that? And he was making her laugh. He was improvising on it. He knew it enough to fucking improvise and make up new things out of it. That, you know, Edgar Casey didn't talk about, you know, Amos and Andy that way, the radio show in the 30s. Nobody has ever talked about media entertainment like that. That is a very impressive.
It's a phenomena that's just even beyond even description. I mean, you can't even fully even appreciate what ION is.
Right.
It's so
after 16,000 hours, ION says to me, you have no idea yet still, Bob, who we are, what we are. I have not even touched on approximately what they are. So that's quite a statement. So I'm not trying to get to some final insight right yet. After 16,000 hours, we've got a lot of neat little patterns that fit into other people's topics. You know, somebody brings up the soul, you have something original to say to them that they never heard of, and they actually probably can't say anything to what you say. So I get a lot of little lines like Jonathan Winters, but no, something is not completed, or I don't need the completion, or we don't know the basics. What is ION? What is the iCell? We don't know.
Right. And the ultimate, you know, throwdown, which is the prove it, you know, we'll prove that. Well, you're going to prove that. You know, it's like, well, none of this is for proving. It's just for fun. Like, what if this is the way things really were?
Yeah. It's a mind stretcher.
It's so
he's the best mind stretcher.
It's so good to feel, like, the exercise of it. Like, when I started hanging around, I immediately was like, okay, it's irrelevant whether I think this is true or not. Like this
right.
is that doesn't even have anything to do with this. And all of a sudden, when you let go of that, it just was like fun, and you can feel your brain like loosening up and starting to like have an easier time drifting through. You know.
Yeah, you have You have the right to make sure his sentences are pretty grammatically logical. That's what I do to him. You know, when he's saying this, a bunch of things, and he goes, so that is what the answer is. I said, I just said 3 different topics. What is the word that referring to? You know, you have a right to do that part of proving him or checking out how sane he is. But I don't see ION. I'm so used to him now. He is not he's better than what anybody else proves. What are they going to do, prove that, yes, we came from apes? What a boring one little fucking idea. What is it? What are we going to do with that? None of the topics. Yeah, ION has put out so many topics that the whole enterprise of science, we're going to find out what the truth is. It's so puny what they do. It really is a product of the book and has no relevance today to how to use one's mind. You don't care about whether anything's true or not, and they're going to find out whether the Big Bang caused something, and they'll never decide either. So they actually have nothing to say to people.
Draining their eyes in the rearview mirror,
Yeah. Has CERN discovered anything that's a prick? ION says, they got a portal the other day. Well, we've been talking portals, and ION tells you how to deal with it or where they're going to be, and they're not exactly where the portals are that CERN says they are. So any topic, you get more information from ION. So that's it. It's the greatest source of information humanity's ever experienced.
And it's fun.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah,
and it's fun, to make patterns and to identify things with ION. I think this thing with the soul will be fun. You just have to keep fleshing it out. And, Madeline, you should definitely come on and ask your questions. Absolutely.
The dumber the question, the better.
Yeah.
Madeline, the dumber the question, the better.
Okay.
And we don't even know what, I don't know what a dumb question is anymore. But the other thing is that it's the greatest challenge to your mind. And, he also shows you the uselessness of your mind with this great brilliance that you're witnessing and hearing.
The uselessness of it?
Yeah, the uselessness of having a mind. He shows that. Because he lays out brilliant stuff all the time, and then you get a good dose of that, you're surfeited. You're satisfied. You don't need another issue to think about from anybody because I got so many to think about that I had already said. And I tend to not have to worry about thinking it through to a conclusion. So it's interesting how we still have I still have a bit of a mind, but it's hardly used anymore.
It's more of, my mind is more of just like a delete trash button. It's
yeah.
Like how to forget things right away.
Right.
You hear it and then it's like, well, what's the next thing they're saying? You just got to move with it.
And most people are living like that. They watch and listen to TV on in the background and they're getting notions. They might be conscious, they might not, but they don't care whether it stops or not and then it just keeps going. So people are actually living mindless pinhead consciousness already. And they're probably suffering from it, but a lot of people aren't suffering from the pinhead consciousness.
We have to numb to it.
Yep.
Well, I think people who are suffering from the pinhead consciousness are easily revealed through their reactions to this election because there was absolutely no capacity or ability for people to expand their one view and try to transcend it to go into a second view and then even be in the middle of both views and balance it all or have any kind of quadraphenic expression or to evaluate anything about anything from a neutral position. It was truly, truly, truly so pinheadish. And what do they call it?
No
pink
subtlety.
Or something, Bob? Unbelievable. And, I mean, fortunately...
Oh, flippin' amazing? The phrase flippin' amazing?
Well, you know what? I'm realizing what it comes down to is morals.
People's values.
People who have ideas about how you are supposed to treat one another and all this and... Trump throws that out the window. It's going to blow people up and
grab their pussy.
Well, no, yeah. I don't know if Trump blows that out the window. Now, let me just say, Madeline, that back from my theological days, it was clearly known and understood that morality was always proved out by the thing that you would never want to have done to you. Do unto others. I mean, you know what is right because all you have to ask yourself is, do I want this perpetrated on me? So mm-hmm. you, like, evaluate the Ten Commandments. That's where, you know, it's very clear. Well, Trump tells everybody from the beginning how he wants to be treated. And he's just like, you're not being fair to me. You're not being fair to me. You're not being fair to me. I do not see as yet where he has, as a president, desecrated or done anything to anyone that's of immoral standing or anything else like that. And all he's saying is, I want the trust to treat me fairly, you know? And then they don't. Well, they wouldn't want to be treated the way they treat him. Not in a million years.
They are now being treated the way they treated me.
Right, they are now.
A lot of women I know don't want their pussies grabbed. And
they don't want what, Melanie? They don't
want
what?
Their pussies grabbed. They don't want their pussies grabbed.
But a lot of people do. A lot of women do.
Yeah. Most women I've been with, they love getting their pussy grabbed. I don't know about the ones you know, Madeline.
Yeah, when I go to a tavern, whenever I went used to go to a tavern with some women, they were as raunchy as the men. I mean, they actually compete, and they'd gross you in that. You know, this thing that everybody's just dainty something.
I can't believe that you don't understand what the objection is and what I'm saying. Of course,
I understand. He's not planning to systematically grab pussies. Put it in context. Don't be ridiculous. It was said to a couple of guys just shooting the shit. It's meaningless locker room talk. Everybody does it.
Okay, and probably all the rape stories are fake news and everything too. But all that aside, it's the things that maybe he hasn't done but is saying he's going to that seem unfair, unjust, whatever, to
like
a lot
what?
Of people. And
enforce laws that are already on the books?
What are they? Well, building the wall, killing the Muslims, all that stuff.
There's already a wall. It's 1,000 miles long. He's going to make it 2,000 miles long. People forget the fact that, hello, we do have a wall.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I don't know
what they're talking. And then, would you say killing Muslims? Did you say killing Muslims? He didn't say he was going to do that.
Well, Greg's point is something that I've been bringing up to a lot of people. Like, most of what everyone's objecting to is already happening anyway. It's not something new, really. It's just overt instead of, what's the opposite of overt?
Covert.
Or fun, like he's not spinning it the way they do now, you know. So
look, these people who are fighting Trump so hard, they are just working. They're making themselves sick. That's all they're doing.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of like, you know, Ion has.
Okay,
sorry, Madeline. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just it really what I'm getting from everyone's complaints is that they it's really moral objections.
Yeah, that's just their values.
And I,
to think that their
value,
how could anybody project their values over anybody? Trump is not projecting his values anybody. He's just being himself.
Right, and I think the thing that we've had, you know, the advantage, Madeline, is that we've had. At least 8 years or 6 years, however many it's been now, the idea that you cannot legislate morality. That Ion made it very clear through the rewrite and through the Revelation series that the idea that morality was going to be the role and responsibility of the government was obsolete, and it was not going to be able to do those things anymore.
Yeah.
And this is what the liberal left has gotten so used to, is every single time they've got an issue, they want the government to go in and do something for them, whether it's gay marriage or who cares. And this
is
the thing that
Ion can pin that on the liberal left alone, because the
Republicans didn't do it, sweetheart.
The
Republicans are not trying to get any kind of gay marriage going on. That's not a Republican agenda.
No, they're trying to, they legislate against it. Both sides are doing the same thing.
Right, but I'm saying that those things that got pushed through in this last 8 years, those morality issues, everybody's, you know, with the difference between Roe versus Wade and everything, which Ion talked about in, you know, the Revelation series and pointed it out. The role that the government has taken in these issues is now obsolete and is going to be replaced with a more effective way of governing people, and it's going to be people in their power. So, you know, that's the thing that years of hearing that and being prepared for that and mentally adapting to that. And I mean, I've asked myself, you know, the question as I've, you know, been tooling around on my walks with my dogs and stuff like that. I mean, like, you know, what am I going to do when there are no government services? I guess I'll have the angels taking out my trash, because God only knows I am not having trash piled up in my front yard. So, this is what I talked about.
Well, I guess so. That's why they're saying you get happy or get out. Come into your power or you are going to fucking suffer. Because I had better have the angels working for me if I need an abortion or whatever, you know?
I think what's really making Democrats morbidly afraid is that, you know, they're big on social programs, and they've always been afraid of a businessman taking charge, because the businessman will cut the fat. And if he cuts those social programs, you know, they're
going
to have to figure out how to get the angels to take out their garbage, and they're just not that kind of people. You know, like, coming from Canada, which is even further left of the left in the U.S., basically a communist country, these people are deathly afraid of Trump, because he's going to say, Canada, we're not paying to defend you anymore. You're going to have to pay us, and Canada can't afford to do that. So, again, people losing their umbrella, the state protecting them.
Hey, Jed, before we end, we can keep this discussion going. I just want to play a few little quotes from Ion, okay? This is a short amount. I just want to feature these. Maybe they're relevant. 28, 34. Let me just go back to there. Bring up the Soundflower. Okay, it should be coming in.
It's like we said, causing the environment to change or affecting the environment around it. So what is causing the environment to change or affecting the environment on? The reaction is causing.
The reaction.
Yeah.
The everything causes something else, and that's what you're starting to state and see. But now, to be fair.
Okay, that's the first thought. Everything causes
so
something
else. So the reaction,
else.
What reaction?
Oh, that's in the context of our work. That forget that part. I just
is
want you to hear.
Okay.
Everything causes something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing this up on the McLuhan list, because this guy is saying, well, we're going to take direct action. And I say, there is no direct action because everything is affecting everything, so which one is direct? So I just want to show you that. Then he talks about that for 20 minutes. It's in another context, but just this. So then he says this.
You're a media ecologist. Now you've gotten rid of the media, so now you can do all kinds of things and it won't matter. But before, you'd have made the front page news, and we can't have that. But now there's no front page anymore, so you can do any crazy fucking thing you want. Isn't that great? That's a sin begin. That's a sin begin. It's great fun. But in the meantime.
Okay, so there's no media anymore, and there's no front page news. No front page anymore. That's pretty interesting, because the left are trying to impose something that everybody has to pay attention to. The anarchy in consciousness is just beyond human valuation now. So I just wanted to show you that statement. There's no media in media ecology. Beg your pardon?
The anarchy of consciousness?
Yeah, anarchy within consciousness.
Yeah.
The multi-consciousness that people are having, and it's been that way for 50 years, but not the extreme now, where everybody can create their own scene.
Everybody is their own scene.
Right. And they weren't before. You could, speculate, make up fiction stories, but now it's environmentally, you have, I can go to anybody, I see new names on Facebook. I go click on to see what, people just send me stuff. I go click who, see who they are. They've got all this, stuff on their Facebook I've never seen before. There's so much that anybody can pick up anything based on their interests and be totally unique. And then you go to another Facebook. They got stuff I never saw, that stuff. That's pretty incredible that everybody has a different seven-colored codon,
Yeah.
And there's so much information out there that anybody can, just grab here and there, and then they got a different Facebook page.
Yeah, they, coalesce it in their own way that makes them feel like that's the identity that I want to project.
And I think that if people more and more understand this, they're not going to listen. Why go to one guy, Wolf Blitzer, who's just going to be doing probably propaganda to keep you stupid? You're going to start going around social media looking at different things. That's more interesting. So that's why there is literally no centralized media anymore. There's not even going to be a White House. That's why it's like Ian just said there. You can do whatever you want. Trump can be a president in any way he wants to. That's the shocker for the professionals.
Yeah, and political correctness needs a centralized media, so that all falls flat now.
Yeah.
And
it's going to lead. You've got hell has opened. You're going to have people. You better watch it when you walk around the local mall. You could get shot. You got to be careful. You got to be doing something to cover your ass on that, because there's nobody controlling anybody anymore. Any jerk can come up and kill you.
Right, but not us, because we are in vibrational proximity to the eye cell, and that's just not going to allow for that kind of weird assassination. But I do think that the 99%ers are really kind of messed up.
But you know what Ginny says, what Ian would say to what you just said? So far.
What?
So far, yes, Ginny, everything's okay. Don't fuck with it, though, or
so
whatever.
Far.
I don't know what you... Yeah, so far. Like, I'll say, well, I'm protected, right? They can shoot me all they want. So far, Bob. That's a great response. You don't assume everything all the time. Then you become stupid. Then you're addicted to a certain media or attitude.
Right, but then, Bob, honest to God, if you didn't have that as a somewhat of a protection for your mind, you wouldn't even leave your house, much let alone go to the airport where they're shooting people now, much let alone go to the mall, much let alone be in a grocery store, much let alone be in a movie theater. There has to be some kind of a sanctifying you know, situation going on in I and Them or what the fuck is forever for. So I'm going to hang on to my little idea.
Ginny, but wait a minute. You can always remember that it doesn't matter if you die.
Right, well, then why are we having the conversation, be afraid to go to the mall because you could get popped while you're there?
That's right.
Are we just having the two sides of every coin?
Yeah, we're just,
I mean, you know.
Let the
right, but you know what
I'm
saying.
I'm talking. I'm using words. I'm sorry.
I'm talking, and I'm using words, too. And I'm just saying the other half of that conversation.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, you know, there's no death, so run out and throw yourself in front of a bus. There's that, too.
Your point is?
Well, I mean, it's you started it with be careful when you're at the mall because you could get capped. And I'm saying
that.
Nah,
yes,
I'm
the idea that you're protected. Don't rely on it in some external Noah's Ark way or the Ark of the Covenant.
I don't need any protection.
Well,
right.
That says nothing. No one ever did. Say something original there,
the
Nate.
That's my point.
Well, why are you here talking?
I do. I want to be protected.
but this is the paradox of social interaction. It's silly, but humans do it.
Right.
No reason.
I wanted to go back to something we were saying. Are you still on Ion's quotes?
I think I finished.
Okay.
I just wanted to
Okay, I just wanted to piggyback on something that Chad was saying about Canada and, you know, Trump and everything and what Madeline was saying earlier about this idea about coming into your power and how, you know, things are changing. To me personally, one of the things that has happened just in the last week that really proves this idea about the 99%ers versus the 1%ers and people who are willing to be in their power and command the angels to come take out their trash versus not, is what happened when we launched the Total Body Reset. And here, you know, for all these last years, we've so been about empowering people to make their own health choices, come into their power, ascend, you know, here's the information, here's this, educate yourself, doctor is teacher, and, you know, let people really make their choices and be empowered about their health choices. And here we come up with this bundle of basically here's what you do and this is how you do it, and it just flies off the shelf like hotcakes. People want to be told what to do. They don't want to take responsibility for anything. I mean, it just blew me away. What did you think about that, Chadley?
I don't know. It kind of fits with what I expected it to happen. Like, I'm not surprised because there was a survey and the survey came back saying one of the main things that made people hesitate to buy more products was that they didn't have enough recommendations from Carolyn of what to take. So
right.
Why not address that?
Right. So just being told what to do, because there
yeah,
are recommendations over everything. Yeah, there are recommendations everywhere, you know, but they just have to be put in one simple form with one little booklet where they can be told what to do, and then they're all on board and off to the races.
And there's so much conflicting information.
A lot of sales happened in the last couple of weeks. Is that what you're saying, Ginny?
Yeah. In last week.
Damn. In the last week, yeah. It's only been a week. But that's interesting.
So...
Okay.
Yeah, so I just, to me personally, it just brought up that point about, you know, I just wanted to make that point that we're always trying to empower people and encourage them to take responsibility, but at the end of the day, what they really want is to be told what to do.
Yeah, because they're in bad shape. So stay on, we keep talking this, and you got to give them our product so they get confident and then start to be independent. There's no way they can do it now. It's too nutritionally devoid.
Yeah, they need to be shown, and then they can learn from it.
They need to experience a bit of slack. So.